International Relations and from the DTI. Our apology, you see members are coming in, our apology for coming in late. We are about to end this term and there are things that Parliament would expect us to do. So there is a meeting that just cropped up, which started at half past 8 this morning. But thanks for coming and coming also on time. I am Dumisani Kamete. I come from the most beautiful province, KwaZulu-Natal. That's the warmest place to be this time. Even if you are going to watch the World Cup anywhere, but for sleeping and entertainment, you must go to KwaZulu-Natal. I chair this committee, and I'll ask, starting with from my left to that side, so that we introduce ourselves.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tupeka Mtileni. I'm the committee secretary of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Abdullah Khanif. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I'm Elza van Linen, and I'm from the Eastern Cape.
Morning, everyone. My name is Sherry Chen from Gauteng.
Please,
KZN.
Good morning. Masfa Kolikhale from Limpopo Province.
Good morning. Colin Mayina, Northwest.
Myself. Genevieve Quintal from the PNG.
Good morning, Ernest Kopa, Parliamentary Officer, Department of International Relations.
Philip Mutsweni from the Department of Trade and Industry.
Olelo Mlumbipita from the DTI.
Namsisa Ngombane from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. I'm responsible for China and the Middle East, Deputy Director General in the Department. Thank you.
There's a member next to you, Mazambane.
Morning, everybody. I'm Jomo Nyambi from Mpumalanga Province, member of this committee.
Thanks very much. Just for information, we are two committees in one. That is why both committees are taking this oversight trip. So we are trade and international relations and economic development. Economic development would have energy, mineral resources, and economic development. So those are the things that we'll be interested in when we go to China. Trade and international relations will be trade and industry, tourism, and then international relations. Ambassador Ngombane, I will give it to you first so that you start, and then after that DTI would come. Over to you.
Thank you very much, and thanks again to the members of the committee, the two committees, for giving us this opportunity to come before you and present on China. We are asked to circulate something. I hope people did get it, because I think basically that's basically the framework of how we look at China and the things we are dealing with. So I will quickly go through that, but I think, Chair,
it will be also useful to interact with the members on specific issues, try and clarify points where we have. I came down from the capital, Tshwane, yesterday, and part of the things I had the business day with me, and it was full of China. And I then said, should I change my briefing? should I report on what but it clearly said a lot of things of great importance of how South Africa is, everyone now is engaged with the China question. So we're going to try and navigate that. Can I also make the thanks for bringing the two committees together so that we're able to try and coordinate our work. The importance of this is that China is coming very strongly to South Africa. Very, very strongly. And sometimes we have failed to communicate this message. I think maybe even government, to say we should not do business as usual. We need to really find a way of how do we deal with China as a whole government and including parliament, as a whole country. Because if we don't do that, we are going to be overwhelmed. We are going to find ourselves blaming each other, that this one is not doing this, this one is doing this. So it's important, Chair, that we really try very hard to coordinate our activities. That China comes together. They don't come as one unit. You don't deal with China as one company. They come as government, companies and everything, and parliament. So it's a wave. So you can't deal with by trying to choose and pick. So it's very important to understand that framework. So the briefing, therefore, Chair, tries to give an outline. There's the quotation from Deng Xiaoping. The former leader of the Chinese Communist Party. Let me pass that. I think you have seen that. But the talking to this, the second slide is the issue that we are grappling with as international relations, which is fundamental importance. How do we position South Africa in the next 20, 30 years when the world would have changed to have China as the leading economy of the world? You have India, you have the US in between, Japan struggling for survival to be there, and your old European economies sort of in the lower rank, below the fives of the world's great economies. So the question then becomes to South Africa, where do we position South Africa in that type of configuration? So we also dealing with this, it's going to come up as a buy side, the question of the BRICS, your China, India, Brazil, and Russia. That discussion also talks to that issue of where do we position South Africa. So these are the countries. Not to mention, not to forget, we normally sometimes have a one-sided view, not to mention Indonesia in the mix of things, which is important to note here. This is the graph it shows, basically, the countries. Now we've got the slide that talks on foreign policy involvement of China in Africa, PRC's agenda, the evolution of South Africa PRC relations, South Africa foreign policy instruments, SAPRC key agreements, because we have signed key agreements, the SAPRC economic relations, the Shanghai 2010 World Expo, SAPRC future relations. Chair, how much time do you want me to have? so that I can just quickly pace myself. I can just rush through on it and then allow for safety.
Yeah, I'm sure you could discuss among your colleagues. It will be two presentations. If you could rush through, that's fine, because we'll engage on questions, because members will be going to China. So on key issues that both of you are going to present, I'm sure you can allocate yourselves time, whether 30-30 or 20-20, and then we'll have more time on discussions.
Thank you, Chair. I will rush to. I said we gave you the slide, so I'll just talk, highlight a few things. I think this slide, as I said, covers almost all the issues that we deal with in relation to China. But the key important thing is that, as you know, there's a planned state visit which will follow your visit to China coming up in August. In that state visit, the Chinese government wants to elevate the South African-Chinese relation to what they call a comprehensive strategic agreement. Now, they don't have that type of an arrangement with many countries. They say it's really about three or four. So they put South Africa in there. The question, therefore, is what is going to flow from that? It means we are going closer and closer to China. It means, if you refer to the old talk of a Russian bear, we are going closer to the hug of the Chinese bear, and therefore we must be ready. A comprehensive strategic agreement would entail coordination in many things, politically, economically, and it would entail the two leaderships meeting maybe once a year in a formal structure to discuss on many issues. So it will have a lot of implications for us. That's why I said it talks to our need to always be very coordinated and working together. We have the macro trends there in that area of the world where China is dealing with the area of closer relations with Japan, Korea. You've got your Taiwanese-China relations, which have thawed, despite the sales of weapons by the U.S. I think there's a greater realization that it's a matter of time before some talks on whether you call it unification or where China and Taiwan will really work in a coordinated way. It's really a matter of time. It's not whether it's going to happen, it's just a matter of time. That's why it becomes important in terms of how does South Africa relate and then maintain some contact with Taiwan and also good relations with China. So it's that thing, so that we are not played to be favoring this and left out in the cold in this movement forward. There's a question of China-U.S. relations. You saw the large U.S. delegation just visited China. The U.S. pays a lot of attention to China, also because China owes, has a lot of U.S. debt, and also because the U.S. wants the market and wants to grow with China. So they are paying a lot of attention. What does China want? Basically, China is reassessing its position in the world in terms of its sovereignty and territorial integrity. They are very aggressive on that. They still feel that there's a risk that China might fall apart. There's a more strong determination to guard the territorial integrity of China, to prevent any tendencies to split China. This is the basic statistics there. We've got the important question of Tibet, which we have mentioned there, second last point, and Xinjiang. Economic development, we talk about the great power, right? criticizing Chinese power in the global arena. The fact that Chinese don't really have, they have the socialist theory, but they adjust at their own conditions to suit their market economy. We have, coming to Africa, your traditional relations with Africa, which was really to help liberation movements, and then that started the footprint of China in Africa. And then we've got now the new arrangement, the China-Africa Forum, China-Africa Cooperation Mechanism, which is a very important mechanism where really China begins to talk to Africa in terms of what can be leveraged from China, but obviously China has her own interests in the African continent. Strategic competition among major powers. I think the key thing to say here is always the energy and resource hungry China, who wants to secure resources for their future growth. So Africa becomes a very big target for them, and therefore all the policies are designed to secure the Chinese interest in those. Ghana, Gabon, DRC, Zambia, Zimbabwe becomes very important. I think we have seen a lot of moves by China and Zimbabwe to secure the platinum and other resources. We also have the China-Africa Development Fund. This is important because it opens up a lot of potential for investment in infrastructure, as you would know. And one of the things that has been mentioned is that China is investing more in infrastructure. That can be criticized that they are building railways to take the resources out to the ports. But I think, in general, it is recognized now that China is investing more in infrastructure for the developing countries, African countries in particular. That is what we are forecasting to happen, the hosting of those meetings in South Africa, the China-Africa Forum. The China, in terms of South Africa, the energy question there comes up. Interested in the Sasol technology, oil to coal to gas, and then gas to liquids. Resources. Then there's your question of China, people's role of China in the international organizations, their role and their coordination working with South Africa in various areas, even on the G20, even on the questions of treasury. There's a lot of points. We don't agree on everything, but there's a lot of commonalities that are there. The question of South African attractiveness as investment base for the African continent, which is basically a springboard, is very important for us. This is the history of our relations. What I was mentioning, the deepening strategic partnership, and then the leading up to comprehensive strategic partnership, which will be crowned with the visit by President Zuma in August. We have this type of representation in China. There's been talk that we should pay more attention to this lower, the southern part. So that stands there, this part, because the next growth point is this area. You know Shanghai and all that, but you know, next big growth point is this area around Vietnam, and China is playing very strongly to get energy from Myanmar and all these areas. There's a lot of hydropower here with Laos, and all your policies of China, Myanmar, they are linked to gas, energy, hydropower. So that's why it's very difficult to move China on Myanmar. You can't move that. they're in competition with India. India, this is India. And actually, we are going to India by end of this week for a state visit. But India has the same issues to deal with in competition with China about the gas fields that lie here. But what is important to say is that we normally sometimes try to highlight the border disputes there between India and China. But because of this history of previous military clashes, we always think that there's an imminent or likelihood of a war breaking out. I would like to caution and say, look, the way the India-China relations have developed in the last 5 years have reduced that. India is now focusing to invest more in China, trade more with China, and they are coordinating. Their state oil company and the Indian state oil company and Chinese state oil company, they've actually been able to work together and bid for oil fields and took over in Syria, a big oil company. So you have to understand that there's a shift from conflict to more cooperation between these two great countries. They talk of the people who have researched the topic, talk of a Chindia, that the new twin tower of the global strategic partnership will be Chindia. So we have to strategize and do this as we talk to China, talk to India in the same breath, literally. So partnership, this is the question of the multilateral partnership, the UN security seat, and we're asking for our non-permanent seat, which will culminate in a vote in September this year. Hopefully South Africa will make it, and work closely with China in the Security Council. The G7 I mentioned the question of BRIC membership and then the G20. Binational commissions, yes, we have at the deputy president level and vice president in China, and we'll host that in November here in South Africa. Those are the agreements. I will just rush through them. This is the trade. The Joint Economic Trade Commission, JETC, Subcommittee on Binational Commission. Total trade, 120 billion rands last year. Largest export destination by country, 48 billion in last year. Largest import partner, 70 billion last year. Trade imbalance, minus 22 billion. China's advantage. Tourism increase potential to grow very quickly. With the talk of the airline, Chinese airline flying in here. Those agreements were being negotiated, so the Chinese national carrier will start flying to South Africa, so that will increase tourism. That's your graph on trade. I'll jump that, they will talk to it. Chinese investment in South Africa, you have your Industrial Commercial Bank of China, the infamous or famous partnership with Standard. I think we met Standard Bank in China, they're very happy. They have increased their personnel in China. They're employing about 50 top class employees. The representative told me that they're also employing not just South Africans, but also African professional students from Ghana and other areas as an employee of Standard Bank in China. Then you've got the issue that came up, the cement plant that is being developed. I think positioning China really in the continent for the future growth of the continent, because the next growth of infrastructure in the African continent. You heard here the buying of Chinese buying control of overseas in South Africa, which is platinum. So this is happening left and right. So, and therefore, the question is, I said, which everyone has to ask, should we just say it's free for all? Or should we begin to say, yes, China can participate in South African economy. Yes, there's areas of strategic importance to us which we cannot surrender overall control. Something like those. I think it's a discussion that is worth talking, so that we don't wake up and say everything has been bought. So there's S.A.B. Miller, which is working with China, not just breweries now, they're in food, as it mentioned, and beverages. They will explain more on that. Let me talk to the Shanghai Expo, and then I just jump to challenges. The Shanghai Expo, we have been latecomers. There was a debate, I'm told, before I came to the department last year, and then it's only towards December that a go-ahead was given, yes. That's the Shanghai Expo, to really allow South Africa to participate. It's been a very marvelous undertaking. We've got teams that run through the 6 months. We have started this month with the tourism and the World Cup team, followed with the youth, and then they are going to come in, people from trade and industry, the 2 months. And then comes culture, August, and then environment, and then science and technology. So it's a very big thing for South Africa. And really, the limited resources that we put in place, countries that are exhibiting there, the Chinese stand there, I'm told the Chinese investment in the whole venture is about $1 billion. Other countries have come in, Germany, Brazil, they have put in stands of $100 million, $200 million, and those things will be destroyed after the expo in October. You clear up. But the value for countries is, that they put in this thing is such that when we are there, you are really making a statement of what is your potential as a country. Now, what South Africa has done is to put up that stand with a very limited budget, which was about 120 million rands, I think, coming in bits and pieces, not even in a block, but it allowed us to have this very wonderful stand. And our experience when the stand was open was that South Africa is quite attractive. We were attracting not the Chinese, not just ordinary Chinese visitors. A whole milieu of people there, the Europeans and everybody, are actually making stop to see what South Africa has got to offer. We had a lovely experience when we were preparing. We closed the doors for the exhibition, and there was an elderly Chinese couple who came. She was told, they were told, no, it's closed. We're going to open, but we're closed today. And she said, no, because this is a Mandela country. You've got no right to close for me. I must come and see what Mandela country has to offer, and we have Madiba the outside. So we have to open the doors. So the way that people relate emotionally and everything to South African stand is amazing. So I will quickly pass then. This SA competitors, I wanted just to talk on the challenges. I think, Chairperson, as I mentioned, the question of the trade deficit, just almost the last slide, it's a question that needs a lot of attention. As we have listened to the Minister of International Relations, Gwana Mashaban, and talking to our IFAP too, there's been the talk of how can South Africa leverage its resources, the question of beneficiation of the SA minerals. It's really the big discussion that we're having with China. Now, obviously, we don't want to take a everything from China, pollution and everything to here. I think one has to be clear. We want to use technologies and funding and financing to leverage and get value, better value for our resources, exporting to China, exporting globally. And really, the structures that we create with China will go a long way to addressing that. I think all the question of there's mention of Sinosteel in the Limpopo, who are really now producing high-value products for export abroad. But we would want to do more on that. Same thing, as I say, more value add, and then the market access for SA agricultural value-added products to that huge market is critical, that we really begin to occupy our space there and export more and more to China. The question of greenfield projects, the question here again, this document mentions your DR, where there's a wind turbine that is being established with Chinese investment for your energy production in the area of DR. And there are many areas in South Africa who, and in solar energy, who would benefit largely if we tap the Chinese resources. Now, that point, the number two, the lack of capacity, AU, the regional economic groupings, take up focus opportunities. I think China has opened up space, but that capacity is a problem. I think I must say, in conclusion here, that one of the weaknesses that South Africa has, members of the committee chair, is this issue of SADC, this issue of SACU, that is really unresolved. It's really beginning to raise some warnings to us now that this is really our biggest Achilles heel. We don't address this issue, we're going to run into trouble. We're going to sooner or later be irrelevant in South Africa. This is where we should be playing strongly. South Africa is important if South Africa has SADC that works. But if we are going to stay in this flux, countries are going to bypass us. There's no reason countries should report to Pretoria that we're going to Africa. They're not going to do that. Sooner or later, we are going to be dealing with all these companies there. Your party issue with MTN, that issue didn't disappear. The fact that it was vetoed, the deal, party is back in Africa, is doing deals, is purchasing cellular rights in Congo, doing this. So we are going to find ourselves in deep trouble. So it's critically important that all elements of government work together to get our house in order. Brazil is coming in. The same issues arise. They are coming to the African continent. They will stop here for a few years and then go and leave us, despite our IPSA. So these questions become very critical. And I think this is what we should be informed when we, all of us, relate going to China, going to that. We need to begin to discuss our relevance in the African continent. Otherwise, it will be a history. So in those few words, Chair, allow me to stop here and allow for the opportunity to engage in the question. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ambassador. Before I allow the other team, I'll also allow just a minute the other members that didn't introduce themselves.
Kenneth Sinclair from Northern Cape.
Okay. I'm John Gunda, also from Northern Cape.
Yeah, I will take it that the Northern Cape was still busy with the wind turbines. That is why they were delayed. But let's take a just 1 minute break. Those who didn't get some water and juice, just get that. Then we'll let DTI then to proceed. Just after about 2 minutes.